Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for you to check us out on the Twitch stream. You can go to hornfm.com and go check us out. You can check us. We're live, local, digital, and visual. So go to hornfm.com and you can tap into the link there and check out the Triple Option. But you also can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. KD is at KevinDunn01 in the Twitterverse. And BK is at Brad Kellner in the Twitterverse. All right, gentlemen, more Texas football discussion. There have been these videos that Texas football has been releasing about the different coaches. They have like little snippets of the coaches talking, also little snippets video of them on the field actually coaching. It's pretty cool. It just gives you a little window into their style of coaching and their personality a little bit. And recently, Jeff Banks has been the focus, who's now the special teams coach and the tight ends coach for the University of Texas. A lot of talk about Jeff Banks
and as the rainmaker.
The rainmaker, dynamic recruiter. Yes, no question about it. That is where he seems to be having his most value. But as a special teams coach, he has also grown, I think, had a lot of respect, I should say, in the industry. And he is well-respected as a special teams guy. Tight ends coach, I don't know. I don't know if he's a great tight ends coach.
I don't either.
I haven't gotten a lot of...
I never knew if Tim Brewster was, and I didn't care.
Tim Brewster was a rainmaker. Recruited
right.
me. Yeah, that's what he was here for.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring in Bo Scaife and Brock Edwards, and we'll be okay.
I'll look like I'm a damn good coach.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Not sure if he's a great tight ends coach, but he is.
Okay, he was fist pumping over there. See if you saw that on the video.
What
he
happened?
Was excited. And Rod, 90% of the time when we see that, what do you and I think?
Good breaking news?
That he won a bet. I'm sorry, your cousin won a bet.
We've got good breaking news, gentlemen.
What'd your cousin do?
Nothing.
Your cousin in Sri Lanka?
Jalen Tyson.
Jalen Tyson. Oh!
Four-star.
Oh, the commit.
Basketball signee to Texas Tech, who recently requested his release from his national letter of intent.
Tell me something good.
Has taken to Twitter to announce that he is committing to the University of Texas.
Nice.
There you go.
Nice.
Four-star forward out of the Dallas area.
Nice.
KP2 High School
like
in
that.
Plano. Committing to UT. So he's going to follow Chris Beard from Texas Tech to the University of Texas. I don't think I have seen Jalen Tyson play. I got to go through the memory banks tonight. I've been drinking too much, so I got to see if I can find it somewhere if I've seen
Tennessee's
him
hitting you.
At some point. But highly touted kid. Texas Tech's only signee for the class of 2021. Really, really talented player. And he's coming to UT. So great news on the basketball front. We're trying to figure out what this basketball roster is going to look like next year. A lot of attrition, a lot of guys entering the transfer portal, some guys going pro, some guys just leaving the program altogether, trying to figure out how Chris Beard is going to patchwork this roster. And it appears that he's going to get a really, really talented freshman as a part of the class. So Texas lost two of its signees for the class of 2021, Tamar Bates and David Joplin, once Shaka Smart took the job at Marquette. Those guys requested their release from their national letters of intent, but the Longhorns are going to get one guy back from Texas Tech in Jalen Tyson, who I believe was higher rated than any of the Texas signees for the class of 2021. So this should definitely excite you.
Take it for what it is, but Beard, I was reading up on him last week, and Beard said that he really felt like he was the best player in the state of Texas. He's like, I know we only got one signee, but I think he's the best player in the state.
That's good news. I mean,
he's a Beard guy.
Yeah, so there are some more expected transfers and acquisitions.
Yeah,
that might come to Texas because of the Chris Beard hire. So we'll see.
And some guys that we thought were going to be gone for sure that may be back.
Also true. Didn't think about that.
Big time. Yeah. Jalen Tyson, 6'6", 185, a wing from Plano. He is the 35th ranked player in the country, according to the 24/7 Sports composite. So some basketball. Some good breaking news.
Yeah.
It's nice.
A lot of good breaking news about basketball, though.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true.
And more and more.
Well, it's rare that we're on the air at this hour. Usually Texas baseball is on, so usually we'd have to hit this story tomorrow. So it's kind of nice that we can talk about this right now. But I love that. It's a big piece for Texas.
It's huge.
The site I work for, Texas Top 100, has Jalen Tyson as a top five player in the state, too. So love it, man. Good get.
Yeah, boy, you got two staffs in football and basketball that are understand they got to go get Jimmy and Joe's, and that kind of gets back to Banks, Rod.
Yeah, he is known as one of those guys that can close the deal. more ways than one, but definitely on the recruiting trail.
Yes, sir.
He can close the deal. And so we have some audio from Jeff Banks. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. We've got a couple of cuts. We'll start with this one. So Rod B. laid it out a few minutes ago. This audio is courtesy of a video from the Texas Football Twitter account. They've been doing these get to know your coaches bits on social media. So here's our first cut from Jeff Banks talking about the all gas, no breaks mantra that Texas football is using. And Jeff Banks also talks a little bit about his coaching style as well.
All gas, no breaks to me means we're going to attack and be relentless in everything that we do, whether it's coaching, whether it's teaching, whether it's recruiting, whether it's attacking defenses, whether it's attacking special teams. We're going to try to live up to that standard and have everybody in the organization push forward.
Ah, so good, dude.
My coaching style, I would describe as to try to be the best teacher that I possibly can. Really just trying to get a player to play even above his talent level, both with his effort and then with his execution. I think the way you do that is just stay consistent every day in how you push them and stay consistent in every day on how you teach them.
High energy guy, it appears.
Yeah.
That Jeff Banks. And how about this, guys? I went and opened up the Bible today.
The actual Bible?
No, the Phil Steele College Football Preview Magazine. And I looked at special teams rankings. And Jeff Banks was the special teams coach at Alabama for the last 3 years. We got there a year before Sark did. He got there in 2018. I don't have the numbers for 2020 because Phil Steele has not released his 2021 preview magazine. But the 2 years that I have data for, Alabama special teams ranked number 8 in the country in 2019. They were number 33 in the country in 2018. Before taking the job in Tuscaloosa, Jeff Banks was the tight end slash special teams coach at Texas A&M. From 13 to 17. How about this? 2014, A&M special teams, number 4 in the country. 2015, A&M special teams, number 7 in the country. 2016, 13 in the country. 2017, 8 in the country. So, sometimes it's not always that easy to tell how good or bad special teams are. Let me rephrase that. It's easy to tell when your special teams are bad. We've seen that here around these parts a lot over the years. Charlie Strong coached Texas team, once had three extra points blocked in Stillwater against Oklahoma State. You can tell when special teams is bad. Brutal. Sometimes it's hard to quantify, though, exactly how good it is. I trust Phil Steele, and apparently he's got a lot of high praise for Jeff Banks. So I feel very good about the special teams units being much better at Texas. And by the way, to give you some perspective, here are Texas's numbers over the last 4 or 5 years. In 2019, number 49 in the country. 2018, number 79 in the country. 2017, number 19. 2016, number 38. 2014, Charlie Strong's first year, Texas 103rd in the country in special teams.
That's crazy.
So the data, KD, tells you that Jeff Banks is going to provide a pretty immediate upgrade with special teams.
Yeah, and it's so easy to look at the talent he had at Bama and say, okay, well, yeah, you got Jalen Waddle and you got all those guys, you have those five stars, your special team should be really good. But I think going back to A&M, and Aggies had told me that, they're like, oh, God, we're going to miss this guy and definitely miss him with special teams. But I looked up even stuff before then, and you go back to UTEP when he was a special teams coach, and they were fourth in the country nationally. That would be nationally, that would be the country, Kevin, in kickoff returns and sixth in net punting in 2011. Like, to be nationally with the talent you're going to have at UTEP, and I understand it's going to be who you're playing too, but to be top 10 in multiple things and special teams, and you're the special teams coach,
yeah,
that tells me something.
And by the way, Jeff Banks was not at A&M with Jimbo Fisher.
No.
He was there with Kevin Sumlin.
Right.
So I know they were getting some talented players, but it wasn't the same A&M team that you saw last year that Jeff Banks was working with.
Agreed.
So I think the UTEP point is better than the point I just made, but just to put that in people's minds.
Yeah.
So that's good. I'm excited about him. What about this cut on tight ends, right? That's the position group that Jeff Banks is going to be coaching. Here is Jeff Banks talking about what he's looking for in his tight ends.
I'm looking for a guy that can be a mauler, that can be a super physical on the line of scrimmage. What we're really trying to get out of it is the ability for these guys to understand how physical we want to be in the run game. And then secondly, dynamic pass receiver that can get open and really be a big threat in the passing game down the field to develop an identity as a unit.
So there is Jeff Banks talking about the tight end. Relatively generic stuff. I mean, Rod, you've got Jeff Banks talking about wanting tight ends who can block and also be weapons in the pass catching game. Unfortunately, we haven't seen that around here that often as of late.
You've seen ones that could block pretty well, actually.
It feels like one or the other, right?
It seems like, yeah, very one-dimensional tight ends, and you got to money ball the position to try to get that five-tool tight end. Maybe that's what Jeff Banks' biggest concern is going to be with the tight end position. I do think that, you know, it does, even though it was a very generic response, it does show you that they do want to prioritize the run game.
No doubt.
And
we start there.
That tight end, if they're going to prioritize anything or emphasize anything, it will be the tight end's ability to block and give them an extra blocker in the running game. Sark's even talked about this too, even though his offense is an RPO-based offense. That's the first, really kind of the first staple of his offense is RPO-based offense. And he's talked about not putting in a lot of passing options, not putting in multiple options, trying to limit it because he wants the quarterback to actually pan the ball off and run the ball if the numbers are telling him to do so in the pre-snap. Other than he said, if I give the quarterback too many passing options, the quarterback will always pass it. They'll just use my RPO concept as a play-action pass, and they'll just decide to pass it. So he actually limits the amount of passing options and tags he has on a lot of his RPOs.
And he's looking at safeties, right?
Yeah.
That's sort of what you look at.
In a line, sometimes it's that linebacker. Mm-hmm. Depends on the RPO
keys,
concept.
But one of them usually, right?
How many guys in the
safety,
box.
Yeah, exactly.
If that second safety is in the box or if it's sort of a too deep look over the top. If it's too deep over the top, you run. If it's a guy in the box, that's where you throw, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, he's going to go get an Irv Smith. Mm. I mean, I'm not worried about it because he may not be the best technical tight end coach. I don't know. Because Smith was pretty damn good, but that was also because they had too many weapons. They just had so many weapons. Really couldn't get him the ball. And when they did in that playoff, all of a sudden, Irv Smith looked pretty damn good. So he's going to be able to go get guys, and I'm sure he's going to get a couple for his own position. This was a huge hire. Really excited about Banks.
Yeah, and the special
slick,
team,
man.
Yeah, his special teams legitimacy is widely known.
Yep.
Everybody talks about how great of a special teams coach he is. I've talked to coaches who praise him as a special teams guru, and you talked about as a rainmaker. You can hear his energy, and he's a bit of a smooth talker, so that helps on the recruiting
trail.
Is that his girlfriend
or
his wife?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. Is it
beautiful?
I think it's wife.
They didn't say wife on TexasSports.com.
Okay,
so.
Maybe I don't know then. Maybe fiance. I don't know what they are then. Who knows?
Rod, you trying to get a ring on it?
I don't care.
All right.
But I'm talking about for them. I don't care what they are. Hell, trust me. I avoided it as long as I could. For him, for Jeff Banks, tight ends. I do wonder about tight end development, but as KD mentioned, just bring in a stud. It'll make you look good.
Yeah.
This guy can recruit with the best of them.
That's what Bruce – I seriously have no idea if Bruce was a good tight end coach.
You think Bruce Chambers was a great running backs coach?
I know he wasn't.
Bucky was a – I mean, Bucky will say he's a great
coach at all.
Bucky will say he's a great running backs coach, but Bucky was a hell of a recruiter and got Ricky – that stable of running backs was great. So I don't know which one it was, having a great stable of running backs or Bucky being a really good running backs coach. Some tells me it was more the former than the latter.
He'll take credit for the latter.
But I'm just saying, but you know, that's your job as a coach.
Sure, that's
get that
part of it,
full.
Man. Yeah. That's part of it.
Well, no,
you got to develop.
If I took care of business before I even actually have to coach, then and you don't know if I'm that good of a technical coach.
Come on now.
I still got the job done.
Yeah. Still got the job done.
I got it done early.
Exactly. So,
I turned in the test before everyone.
So Bucky gets credit for Ricky Williams' development and Priest Holmes and all those
He gets
guys.
Credit for having Ricky get 990 yards, the only year he didn't get 1,000.
Only Bucky could keep Ricky from getting to 1,000 yards.
How about this one more
like
cut?
Like the Dean Smith MJ thing?
Yes.
This one is from Steve Sarkisian talking about Jeff Banks. You're sorry.
Jeff just really brings the energy every day we walk in the building. He's a tremendous special teams coordinator. I think the best in the country. We've worked together the last 2 years, so I know exactly how he operates. And also a great developer. You see his players get better from year one to year two. Another common theme of a lot of the coaches on our staff.
Dude, there's some Snoop feel to that. I like it.
It's lit!
It's lit!
It's lit!
Wow, 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 wow! Something else that's lit is Bud Light. Bud Light is lit. When you go home tonight, on your way home, grocery store, convenience store, pick up a nice ice cold case of Bud Light. You can always get the good times going as long as you got the Bud Light flowing, folks. See, perfect beer for any occasion, especially those sporting occasions. So if you're watching some baseball, maybe you're watching a little basketball, make sure you do it with the world's number one selling light beer. That's Bud Light. It's the beer for all seasons, and we all know the reason, because Bud Light is a beer for any occasion. The sure sign of a good time. time. And if you want to be the life of the party, make sure you bring the Bud Light to the party. Everybody will love you for that. Bud Light has been my choice for a while, but I've expanded my Bud Light taste a little bit. They got Bud Light Seltzer now, also the Bud Light Lime. So whatever tickles your fancy, that's a little Bud Light for everyone. But I'm all about the original. Bud Light is my choice and should be yours too all year round. Bud Light is America's beer of choice.
Don't forget, too, because Banks did do some things with people outside of Irv Smith. Oh, God, what was the guy's name? I'm forgetting it here. Oh, Miller Forrestall.
The great Miller Forrestall,
and they also had Major Tennyson. Yep. It was a Bama tight end room.
Miller Forrestall.
That's the most SEC tight end really name.
Sounds like a tight end to me.
By the way, the Sark Audio, is he in an aquarium here?
Jeff just really brings the energy.
You got the club music going on in the background.
You're recording ads with Seaway.
We've worked together the last 2 years.
I think Sark recorded this where Craig Way records his Craig Way report.
Oh, I think that dude had like that can with the string attached to it.
Mm.
Right.
Like yeah, sounds about right.
I like that bit. What do y'all think of the tight ends real quick before we wrap up this segment? I mean, do you feel confident about the tight end position? A lot of cooks in the kitchen, a lot of bodies, guys who have been on campus for a number of years, Cade Brewer. Utilizing the NCAA eligibility waiver, coming back for a fifth year. You've got Jared Wiley, who showed some things last year. Braden Liebrock.
Gunnar Helm.
Malcolm Epps. Davis. Yeah. Malcolm Epps.
God.
There's names. There's numbers.
Some guys.
Y'all believers. And we keep getting reports that there's a lot of 12 personnel being run at practice right now. So Sark, at least in practice, putting an emphasis on getting some of those guys on the field. KD, you're shaking your head a little bit.
Well, I got the sense when we talked about it earlier that Rod and I are much more bullish on Jared Wiley than you are.
Yeah,
So I'm with you on all the bodies there, and they're all Jags right now. No offense, but Jared Wiley is the one that I think Sark could do something with. I do believe in his talent and potential and did last year, too.
Yeah, I think Jared Wiley has got an NFL shot as maybe an undrafted free agent if they don't utilize him. But I do. I think he's got that kind of athleticism and a Sunday skill set. But, yeah, I don't know what the tight end is going to be in Sark's offense. I think they're running that the two tight end package, 12 personnel, one back, two tight end. Number one, to see what they have at tight end. Let's see if we can get some separation between all these bodies and these names and separate the ballers from the Jags and the jabronis. I think he's trying to do that, number one, and maybe I can switch these guys to another position if they're not going to be able to contribute at tight end. Let's try to really finalize this group and really trim it down a little bit. But also, I think he may be getting ready to go with a run-heavy package if possible, because he knows this offensive identity is going to be Bijan Robinson. No matter what happens with that quarterback position, it won't be a ton put on their shoulders in terms of being the offensive identity and having to carry the offense, because it's going to be Bijan's offense. It'll be the Bijan Robinson show, and if I got to get Bijan more blockers, then I'm going to get Bijan more blockers, and I don't give a damn if it's just a tight end who's a glorified tackle. I'll take it, because Bijan Robinson's that special. If I got the numbers advantage and Bijan Robinson, I win.
We may have found a spot for Derek Kerstetter.
Exactly. No, seriously.
Tackle over.
Yeah, it's like, because Bijan plus numbers, I win that game. I win that every time. I'm winning that play. Guaranteed.
Two tight ends can work.
With Bijan,
three tight ends can work. Look at Iowa State.
Yeah.
Problem is,
and they got a...
Yeah.
Texas doesn't have those.
No, they don't have Notre Dame or Iowa. No, they don't. They don't have Notre Dame or Iowa State, guys.
They don't.
Where you can go three and they all bring someone.
I don't even know if you can bring two. I don't even know if two bring anything to the table.
Iowa State had two last year, two really good ones. And that third one was good looking.
Yeah.
Damn, they got some good-looking
tight ends. Tommy Trimble is going to be a steal in this draft.
Notre Dame guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good player. Is that Baby Gronk?
No, that's Mayer.
Okay.
Yeah, who's John a freshman, Mayer. Not going to be a sophomore.
Waiting,
not John Mayer, Michael
the
Mayer.
Change, I've been told. It's the triple option with RBKD. Hey, let's give away some Texas Rangers tickets. We are the home of the Texas Rangers. Catch every game over
load
on
up the AM
1260. We've got tickets, a pair, to see the Jurors take on the Padres tomorrow night at the Gilf in Arlington. You don't have to come pick up the tickets. We'll email them to you, but you have to be able to go. You have to either be in the Metroplex or be able to get to the Metroplex by tomorrow night. So
how do we test that?
We don't.
Okay.
But just don't be a jick.
Oh, yeah, don't.
As we said a few days ago, don't be a jick. The jerk Dick Cheney combo.
Don't be a jick.
512.
What a jick.
447-3776. That's 447-3776. Caller number 10 is going to win that pair of tickets to see the Rangers and Padres tomorrow night.
And good news, you may have a chance to see the Rangers win because Joe Musgrove's going for San Diego.
There you go. There, that helps.
A little bit.
It's the triple option with RBKD. When we come back, it'll be time for the BK Lounge. We've got some unfortunate sports stories, including an update on Lance Armstrong. Next.
Fourth and five, the national championship on the line right here.
Oh, the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it in two seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles? Yes.
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge. April 8th, 2021 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I am BK Brad Kellner, and this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. Gentlemen, a couple of sports-related stories in today's lounge. Have y'all heard the story surrounding Lance Armstrong?
Yeah, he lost a nut and then apparently was cheating.
That's all I know.
Those are stories.
Okay.
Surrounding Lance Armstrong.
There's new Lance Armstrong stories? I don't know these.
Lance Armstrong is in the news again, but it's not something he did. The story involves his son.
Okay.
His 21-year-old son, Luke David Armstrong, is facing a charge of sexual assault of a child.
Ooh.
What?
Oh, man, that's awful. He's a kid. He's a kid at Rice?
Yes.
Oh.
Now, that makes it sound like something way worse than what it is.
Is it a teenager?
You might draw some conclusions from that don't fit this case.
Okay.
This is a story, an altercation that happened when he was 18 and she was 16, and they were in a relationship.
Okay.
So technically, she's a minor,
yep,
state law, and he's not.
Yep.
And because they're within 3 years of each other, they might try the Romeo and Juliet defense? Isn't that the defense? Like, if you're within 3 years of each other, that can make
it
a relationship.
It depends on the state you're
right
in, I think. Depends on the state. And I know
the
this.
The Elvis-Priscilla debate claim. Well,
if you have the parents' permission, it's all good. I know it sounds sick, but
yeah,
if you're 18
right
and the parents
yep
are cool with you
like
dating their 15
or something,
6-year-old daughter, yeah, like that, it's fine. No, it's like the liquor rule. Your kid, a lot of
yep
states, your kid can have
it
alcohol.
Used to be like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
The parent, the
right
only parents
yeah
cool with. There are some states that's like, no, you're cool. I think Mississippi probably. Like
I mean, to me, those relationships.
You can get her a glass of wine. She's 12. I'm her mom.
I'm her mom. Mm. I said she can do it.
That's how it works, right?
It used to work like that.
Some places. Because
I used to try to pull that off. Hey, mom, dad. Nope, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it is up to y'all at the end
it's
of the
up
day
to them. Mm. Yeah.
So I need cooler parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, for me, like those relationships just on the surface should be okay, right? Even if one is technically
yeah
an adult and one's technically a minor. I mean, we're talking about high school. It's like a high school senior and a high school sophomore.
Yeah.
You've got sure married couples who are like 12, 15, 20, 40 years apart.
Both understood adults, though. Both
yeah
adults.
Both adults.
Both adults.
Both adults. Yeah, when you put it into school perspective, it's so weird, right?
It is weird.
How embarrassing. Oh, my God, the senior's dating the freshman? What a loser.
Yeah.
I can't pick up any chicks his own age. He's got to go all the way down to the freshman. And then you get older, and it's like, oh, that's 3 years. That's, like, pretty normal.
Yeah.
That's, like, very normal, as a matter of fact.
Obviously, people develop differently.
Right.
So being 51 and 46 is different than being
no doubt
21 and
no
15.
No doubt. But I just think school
romances
terms.
I understand what you're saying.
Make it very, very different.
I don't think it's as black and white as a lot of people on either side may make it out.
For
there nothing
sure
is.
Well, there's more to the
no
story. There's more to the story here, regardless of if you agree with me or not on the 18 and 16-year-old relationship. This is where the problem lies, guys. Lance Armstrong's son, Luke David Armstrong, is charged with assault for an incident that took place in June of 2018. So he's 21 years old now. This incident happened 3 years ago when he was 18. June 20 of 18, at a party in Austin.
Oh, no.
The girl says she went to a party and she called him to pick her up because she had a lot to drink. She wanted to go home. So apparently he picks her up in his truck and takes her back to, I think, Lance's house. And she wakes up on the bed and he's assaulting her.
Oh, God.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Those are the allegations at this point. His attorney said, quote, this occurred 3 years ago in high school. It was not a crime, and it was not sexual assault. It was a consensual relationship then and continued consensually between two young people, with both ultimately going their separate ways. These charges should not have been filed 3 years later, end quote. It's a statement, once again, from Luke David Armstrong's attorney.
Okay.
In the investigation, they cited several of her friends that they talked to, they being the investigators, who said the victim told them about the sexual assault at the time, when it happened in 2018.
Okay.
However, one of the friends apparently told investigators that she said the sex that night was consensual. So that's all we have right now. I mean, this is in its infancy stage, but that's trouble. Troubles for Lance Armstrong and troubles for Luke Armstrong. It appears there's going to have to be a trial here.
Oh, man.
Lance Armstrong, 49 years old, by the way. It's a hard 49 that that guy's lived, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gone through a lot in less than five decades.
Yeah.
Man. So is, now I got, way too many questions.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah, very
I didn't, I've never even heard of this.
This thing just came out, this came out a couple of days ago.
Okay.
This is very new, and that's all we have.
And there were no charges filed at the time.
Right.
And did the young lady give a reason as to why she felt she couldn't come forward at the time?
I know they were, they were dating still.
I know, it was still, I mean, she was very young.
I don't know how
She's
long
16,
they were
so.
Dating after that incident took place. I mean, maybe they were dating for 2 years after the incident took place. Maybe they just broke
up.
Did
they date afterwards? Would be wild.
According to his attorney statement,
they continued
dating for at least a little while afterwards, and they ultimately decided to go their separate ways.
Interesting.
You would think that would help his case.
It probably does.
Yes. I think that's why he brought it up, right?
Okay.
Why the attorney brought it up, hoping to get some help on him. Yes. Not to demean your comment, but I'm just... I got a D+ in business law, dude. I'm not smart at this.
He would have seen PK's look at me. He goes, I think that's why the lawyer's bringing it up, you dumbass.
All right, another sports-related story.
You jick.
You Ashole?
This one... This one sucks. I don't know if y'all saw this. Actually, I do know. We were talking about this during one of the breaks. This news story about the five people who were killed in South Carolina in a mass shooting yesterday. And it happened at one home. All five people were at one home, and they were killed. A doctor who was 70 years old, Dr. Robert Leslie, his wife, Barbara Leslie, two of their grandkids, a 9- and a 5-year-old, were shot and killed. And also a 35-year-old man who was working outside the home. He was killed, too. No relation to any of the family members. He was just a worker working at the house at that time. So that happened, and authorities go on this manhunt to try to find out who shot and killed these people. It took them 8 hours, and they closed in on a house with a suspect around 1 a.m. this morning. And they found who they believed to be the gunman who had shot and killed himself. And that gunman was former NFL player Phillip Adams. I don't know if that name rings a bell for y'all.
Niner. That's
pretty recent
reason.
Player. Okay. Defensive back, had a 6-year career in the NFL. Very good career in the NFL. Started with the Niners in 2010. He bounced around. I think he played for like 5 or 6 different teams. Hmm. Ended his career with the Falcons in 2015. But that's crazy, man.
That's crazy.
And they say, so Phillip Adams is from this area. He's from this part of South Carolina, Rock Hill, South Carolina, which is actually a very... sports talent rich area.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of athletes, NFL players coming out of this very small town in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Phillip Adams' parents, it's believed that they lived near this doctor, and Adams had been treated by this doctor before. So there was some sort of previous relationship between Adams and the doctor who he killed. But we don't know exactly what that relationship was. We don't know where the beef stems from. Mm. Man, it's like if you have beef with the doctor, I'm not saying you kill that guy. You don't kill anybody. But the fact that he killed his wife and the two young grandkids.
It sounds like mental illness.
That's exactly
and
what it sounds like.
Do we know how he decided to take his own life? Do we know if
he shot himself?
Shot and killed.
Well, did he shoot himself in the head or the heart?
Because
a lot of NFL players, they can have their brains donated to science and study and see if they had CTE. When they take their lives, they shoot themselves in the chest. Mm-hmm.
So that's what Dave Duerson did, right?
Yes, a lot of guys who died.
Junior Seau.
Junior Seau, yeah.
I hate to say it, but I wonder if he was along those lines and if they are determining whether there was some mental illness happening here. I know he's really young, but, man, CTE, it comes on quick.
So Phillip Adams had several concussions during his NFL career. So
there's
belief. It's speculation at this point, right? They haven't done the autopsy. They haven't examined his brain yet, and I don't know if they can examine his brain. I don't know exactly where he shot himself when he killed himself, but that's a belief that CTE might have been a part of this thing.
Man.
Yeah.
Really tragic.
Incredibly sad stuff.
Yeah. No, I've said it for years. No sport has the violent, sadistic, dark, demented stories that football does. Like, no sport's even close. Like basketball.
Baseball,
hockey. They have some, of course. There's some really sad, dark stuff happening in old sports from time to time. But the NFL, it is very frequent. It is every year there's another story like this or something associated with it, with sometimes well-known players, sometimes less recognizable players. So it's just the NFL, I'm not saying it's all CTE, but it's just, I don't know. It's a dark culture, period.
Tell me if this is unfair, and I know you will. To play that sport, you got to be a little bit off.
Yeah.
Or different.
No, I think that's a part of it, too. It's a violent sport. So
and then you
violence
can play
begets
it, and
violence,
that only, yeah,
and,
right.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's issues with CTE and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I've said for years, thank God for the NFL. For me playing in the league, if there wasn't an NFL out there, at least a quarter to a half of those guys would be in jail, or they'd be
dead.
Threats to the public. They'd be straight-up menaces to society.
Wow.
That's just the reality of it. So, I don't know. I think the NFL, you know, they probably don't like talking about that skeleton in the closet, but you don't hear stories like that about any other league. Not you about NFL players.
Not the numbers.
And I know there are more. There are more players.
You were talking about a dinner break. There was someone who blew his head off in front of everyone.
Yeah, you don't have Javon Belcher type stories. You don't have the Ray Caruso type stories. You don't have O.J. Simpson type stories. I could go on and on. You don't have those stories in other sports. From time to time, yes, but the NFL, dude, I could go down a list of 20 to 30 of them. You know, Aaron Hernandez, and you guys would know them very well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyone have any positive news?
I was about to say, but this is
my segment.
Do you have a kicker to make it three?
No, we're out of time.
All right.
Well, I do. There's always more.
Let's go to break. I'm going to go cry.
Let's go to break. Hey, congrats to Fran for winning the Rangers tickets tomorrow.
Hey!
There you go.
You enjoy the GILF.
The GILF. Enjoy being inside the GILF.
Uh-huh. Oh, get inside there.
It's a cool experience. I know from experience.
Move the cobwebs.
Oh, do you really?
I know from experience.
Ugh, that's disgusting.
Depends on how hot the GIF is.
Yeah. Right. Now, he was there for a World Series.
Oh, that's a
he
hot
He saw
GIF.
One of the best World Series
oh,
games.
Oh, that's as hot as she's been
game
in years.
Four, best game that's ever played, sure. ever been played inside that building.
She'll never be that hot again.
There you go. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We'll tell you what's on tap next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash up?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That is...
Pop a top again. I've just got time for one more round. Set 'em up, my friend.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Little KD karaoke for you folks if you got a chance to hear that.
I didn't nail one word.
Flip your mic on when you start doing KD karaoke.
Yeah, I know.
But then you can't violate that because
exactly.
If you're not ready and you start freestyling and dropping stuff, dropping F-bombs, and that's going to be BK's fault.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess he can always drop it back there. He's got the dump.
That's true.
He can drop it like it's hot.
He can drop it like it's hot. All right, we've been dropping it like it's hot all day long, so go check out what we've dropped on the podcast page at hornfm.com. That's also where you can tap into the Twitch stream if you feel so inclined at hornfm.com for all the shows. But if you miss any part of the shows, go to the podcast page and get yourself caught up there. All right, before we get out of here, gentlemen, got to talk about what's on tap. BK, you up first. What's on tap, brother?
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
You all right?
Put me on the spot.
I thought you had, like, some bubble guts or something, the way you're like, oh, man.
I just, like, forgot the English language for a second. You ask me the same question every day at this time. I don't know why I couldn't remember what I was going to do.
Man, that bender's hitting you, isn't it?
Yeah, tap that. What y'all do last night?
He's been tapping it.
Y'all got after it last night.
We didn't.
Oh.
No tapping was going on at Bob's Steak and Chop House last night. What do we have? We have baseball tonight.
Yeah.
Astros back at it. We've got some NBA. Mavs Bucks. It's a good one.
Yeah, I'd love to watch that Astros
Giannis
game.
And Luka. Should be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
TNT doubleheader. I think Heat Lakers and some other game tonight. That's not bad. I'm going to watch some Masters highlights too.
Nice.
Since a lot of that happened during the day while we were here. So, yeah, just catch up on some sports. I'm dog sitting this week.
What kind of dog?
At the sister's place. Two dogs.
What kind of dogs?
Got a greyhound.
Ooh, those are good dogs.
Yeah, he's good. Greyhound's he's a good dog. I've met that dog.
And
he's
we've
great.
Got another one.
You don't know what kind?
I'm not sure what she is. She's a mix of a couple of things.
She's young.
She's pretty young, though, so she's got a little puppy energy to her.
So you got to play with her a little bit.
Yeah. But only one TV, so it's tough.
Oh.
I don't know how you guys do it. One screen peasants?
I don't either.
You one screen peasants out there.
Peasants?
Yeah. A lot of people I'm talking to make a lot more money than I do. So I don't know if I should be calling them peasants.
I don't know how you can focus with five screens in front of you.
Well.
Just like kicking it on a normal, like just too much stimulation for me.
It's a skill.
I'll be overstimulated.
It's a skill. That's fine. If five is too many for you, that's fine. But
right. Isn't it five?
Two should be a requirement.
Yes, I agree.
Households. What do you have in your maximum setup there with audio visual concept?
So we've got four on one wall.
Four on one wall.
In the living room. And then the dining room, there's a TV that swivels out that can be seen from the living room couch.
So I was right. I was just joking about five, but it is five. No,
it's so funny, too, because I had a three set up at one point.
That's
and
amazing.
When women come in, they go, oh.
You watch a lot of TV.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is your ideal living room. Yep.
I always brace women when they come to my place.
We are different.
I'm just like, oh, whatever you thought about me before is about to change. And it scares the hell out of them.
It
they're
is.
Like, well, is there about to be dead bodies in here? What's going on in there?
And I wait
for them to see it.
Jeffrey Dahmer?
Like, it's a lot of screens.
It's a lot of screens.
It's a lot of screens.
Women. Yep. I don't think women like that many screens in their living room. Yeah.
So do you have a bookshelf? Screens. Pardon me?
Yeah, right? Because all you need is one screen, two, three screens. Yeah. Well, I guess
two screens should be a requirement.
Yeah, it should.
No,
but you can have your laptop. You can have your phone.
Part of the quality time of relationships is you guys watching the same shows. How do you think I watch 90 Day Fiancé and Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Just killed me in
relationships. You think I'm choosing to watch that? No, I have to watch it. By the way, I end up kind of enjoying it.
Put the game on up top.
Yeah.
what do you mean?
It with the sound on bottom. Watch your trash TV, as you call it.
Do you know what to help
put the Astros up top?
Exactly. You know what a healthy relationship
is? You get two birds stoned at once.
I don't know if that's going to work. I do believe that in bathrooms. I believe couples should have separate bathrooms.
Yes, completely separate.
Keeps romance alive.
But a healthy relationship to me is I'm in one room watching what I want to watch, and you're in the other room. I mean, maybe even talk to each other. Hey, turn to CNN. I think you may like this.
You can just text. Or just text her. You ain't got to talk.
I know, but I like the old school days. We used to scream through the house. I used to do that with my dad. He'd be upstairs.
Hey, babe!
Hey, Dad! Turn on ESPN right now!
We had intercoms in my old house back in the day.
Nice.
Oh, you fancy.
Yeah, it was kind of fancy.
Damn.
Yeah, I had intercoms.
We didn't have anything. We just scream at
my
each other.
My mom got tired of people screaming in the house.
So she's
really,
like, I'm getting intercoms?
She got intercoms for everybody.
Quick check of the Twitch chat. There is a female who says, this girl does, I think in regards to having more than one screen.
Good for you.
Lady.
You are a cat.
Come on now.
Okay.
You are a cat.
Slide into KD's DMs then.
Slide on in. All right. That'll do it for us. We have Flex coming up because I saw Snoop. So let's get our high school on. It is lit. It's been lit today. We appreciate y'all listening. Get to hornfm.com. For Brad, for Rod, I'm Kevin. Peace, y'all.